Good morning, friends, family, loved ones, neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ. And echoing what Janice said there, God's word is going to be good. I emphasize, God's word is going to be good. But it has been a worship service already as we go into this, the singing, the testimonies, you know. God is God, and we need to let Him be God, and we need to continue to get out of His way with obedience, as was taught in the Sunday school class this morning, by being obedient to the calling which you have been given by God, the Creator of all, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I stand before you all this morning, blessed beyond measure. Do you know what you call a medical school graduate who made all D's? A doctor. Think about that a minute. I never thought of it that way before. I remember a young man made it through school who is now a preacher that made all D's. The reality set in, where was my focus? So this doctor who might be doing surgery on one of you all or somebody, you ever ask him, Steve, did you ask him to see their diploma, to see their GPA average? So, and I'm just running into an old friend from that I worked with in Ames years ago, but we ended up talking about that. But to go along with that, the sermon topic is about finding our way. And I remember when I worked at Thermo Fisher, and some of you will be able to relate to that. What are your goals? I mean, here was a 50-plus old man working in a plant with that's always done. And what are your goals? And you know what I told him? To keep the rest of my teeth and retire. They're looking for me to like want to be the president of the Thermo Fisher CEO. I don't want to do that. I don't even want to be a boss. I don't even care if I get a raise. I just want to keep my teeth and retire. Is that too much to ask? What's your goal? Now think about that. What is your path? What is your plan? I bet Tony's plan didn't include back surgery or Steve back surgery or your mama with hospice. Think about all that. What your plan is. That's a worldly thing. So I thought about finding our way, and they just had a 45-year class reunion for my graduating class, and it made me wander back in my mind to the scatterbrained, chasing my tail, caught up in everything young man that I was, and I remember the things that would go on inside. The questions I would ask myself were, are you going to be a hunter or a sportsman or a disc jockey, or what are you going to be? I was trying to find who I was and what I was. The world says, oh, be anything you want to be. Well, we see how that's working out, right? Be what you're called to be. And it took a long time of running around and running around and running around to finally realize God had called me to preach when I was 12 years old. Nah. You know, I'll do that when I'm old. I'll do that later. I'll do that never. But here we are today. How much time did I waste chasing everything Jamie wanted to chase? I was trying to follow my own way, make my own path. And the lessons this morning, the testimonies this morning, have been exactly what Janice said. It's our lives, folks. It's our lives. It's our past. I'm going to... one more statement. I wrote this down when I was thinking about that. God taking me places I've never been before. Think about that. And who do we rely on? If He's taking us there, do we not know that He is the creator and planner of everything? So if He says, Jamie, I'm going to take you over there, He's already prepared the way for over there. He will give me the strength that I need to deal with whatever I run into on my way there, as well as when I get there. Do you believe in God today? Do you believe He is the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God that the Bible teaches us about? Do you believe that wholeheartedly? Here's a statement I was going to make at the end of the service, but it seems like He wants me to maybe talk about it now just a little bit. And I'm saying this humbly, that a person told me one time, I always feel good after your sermons. And I think, well, okay, I appreciate that, but that's not the point. The point is, I want you to feel the Word of God in your life. Jamie's making you feel good is something that's temporary. The Word of God is a permanent thing. Don't put this person up here. This person is right there, looking at the cross. Just happened to be, what, an MC or whatever, somebody that talks too much and jabbers a little bit. Somebody's got to be called to do it, right? We got to have called teachers. We're not all teachers. Yeah, Ryan right there, man, he's giving me the stare right now, you know. He said, I couldn't be a teacher. But we all have a purpose, and that's what this is going to be about this morning. I'll get on. Psalm 139. You know, we want to read verses 1 through 3. And as soon as Candy's testimony come out, I wrote her name down right beside of that. I thought, there it is. That's just what God had given me. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3. If y'all would, those that can, stand for the reading of His Word. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3. 1 through 7, I think it's going to be. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Now, we know this is David who wrote this, but put it in your own context in your life. Think right now that He knows you through and through. He knows each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. As much as we'd like to deny that, He does. He knows the intent of every step that we take. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Don't hide nothing from God. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. And that's where I thought of Candy's testimony. He knew her heart. He knows how important it is to her. And Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. It's a personal thing. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Let us pray. Lord God, again, we just humbly bow here before You this morning. thanking you, Lord, for your heartfelt presence, knowing you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knowing that you are in control of all things. We ask, Lord, right now, Lord, that you guide us, direct us, be in the midst of this service, stir our hearts, guide, direct us. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. Thank you all. So just in reading that, it encompassed every aspect of our lives. There's no place, there's no closet, no blanket you can hide in and cover up and be away from God. He knows the ins and outs, the ups and downs, the hairs on our head. You've heard that scripture many times. So we've got to know He knows our path. We got to know He is the God of all creation. We got to know if we trust Him and we believe in Him here this morning, how can we fathom to neglect so great a salvation? God is so good and so relevant in our lives. The Old Testament is so relevant today. I'm going to read now Romans 8, 24. Now, again, I'm talking about God knows everything. God guides everything. You're going to know this scripture, Romans 8, 28. I'm going to read 24 through 28. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why does yet he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. One statement right here, right now. I was thinking earlier, this little feller was a carrying on, and it was words we can't comprehend, but he was making a joyful noise. Don't you think that's a joyful noise? Yeah, buddy. When we first got here this morning, the few people started gathering, and you hear people talking. And it was happy talking. And I thought, man, what a joyful noise that is. Yeah. That sometimes happens inside of me. I cannot put into words what I feel for the Lord. Can you? Now think about that. Think about that. It's like me trying to explain the Holy Spirit to Saddam Hussein. He thinks he's God. Okay? He thought he was God. He knows him now. Anyways, and he that searcheth the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, Steve's testimony. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Think about that. Oh, man, he's going to have back surgery. They're going to cut him. They're going to do this and do that. He's going to be in the hospital, blah, 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 blah. And look at the testimony. Look how God was praised and worshiped and glory was brought to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through that, what the world would think is a terrible thing. Praise the Lord. We can praise Him right now because we can live. Our bodies could be perfect our whole lives. Guess what? You're going to die. Guess what? It's proven. That preacher from Clendenin said, it's 1-to-1 chances you're going to die. It's proven fact. You're going to die. So we can't put our hope in these bodies. Yeah, right, Bob, right. We can't put our hope in these bodies. You're going to be the bionic man before this is all done. And yet still, God's going to call you home one of these days. That's right. That's right. So, again, right back to the purpose of what we're here for. What are we here for? To bring glory and honor to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that good stuff right there? That is. And as Ken was saying, you don't build a snowman, you don't start out with a big, you start out little. I remember in my own life, as my spiritual growth, I was a Christian a long time, before I really understood the depth of my sin. I had identified it, that I was no good, that I was born of sin. I knew that. But in studying the scriptures and realizing how far beyond my comprehension that my sin goes, how could I think that I could ever, ever be good enough? It is so far beyond me, my sin nature, my sin depth is beyond me at all. So, grace does more abound. So there again, I'm learning how great grace is. The purpose of grace. Because grace extended the opportunity to attain something that I could never, ever. All things work together for good. The word purpose in the Greek, in the Strong's Concordance, means intention. So back up there. Called according to God's purpose, God's intention for your life. God never intended us to be miserable characters as we can be. When He created you, He created us in His image. And is there any flaws in the image of God? And the room said no. We know He is perfection. So we are created in His image. And that is His intention, His purpose. Okay. One quick statement about purpose. Now we learned a couple weeks ago in Sunday school class, Moses, and we knew who Moses was. He was born in Egypt and he was put out so he wouldn't, he would stay alive, and he ended up in the Pharaoh's house, and he ended up being one of the hierarchies in Egypt's rule. We know that, right? What was the purpose of that? We go on. He turned away from that. He felt for his people. He left. God called him. What was the purpose for that? To lead his people. Moses' purpose from the time he was conceived, I'll go beyond born, conceived, and that's another whole can of worms, but conceived that God had a purpose for Moses. Now, is Moses of any more value to God than you? So, help us to realize we'll never be, well, I should not say never. We don't think we would ever be called to do something of the magnitude that Moses was called, but Moses had purpose. And Ryan, you have purpose. We were all created with a purpose. You too, Mr. Calhoun County. There's a purpose you're here today, son. So we saw what Moses did. We learned through the studies, and we're learning that now in Sunday school classes. Is it important to go to church? How would we know the purpose of Moses if we weren't studying the Word, if we weren't gathering together in your name? And I remember reading a scripture, and I wouldn't have known one word from not. It looked like some gibberish from another country or whatever. But once I started gathering with those that had studied, those who are advanced in their spiritual growth, those that have dug and learned from a Strong's Concordance, that changed a lot for me, learning what the original languages meant, what it meant. Words don't mean what, well, when I say rainbow, you think of two things. Most of you do. because it's automatic. It's instilled in our society. We know it is God's sign to us that he will never do that again, but we see it plastered all over everything, the cars and whatever, and about pride and all that, alternate lifestyles. But we got to know what the rainbow means. It cannot be duplicated, substituted, whatever, perverted the way it's being done today. We know the rainbow is a sign from the Lord. And with Bible study, we can learn more of the in-depth part of the rainbow. Seven colors. I couldn't have told you how many there was. Couldn't have. That's the purpose for Sunday school lessons. Ephesians 1:9. Having made unto us the mystery of his will, we're talking about God's will, according to his good pleasure, with he has purposed in himself. And I thought of Claire's testimony this morning. Without being a born-again Christian, without being taught in the scriptures, without knowing who God is. People will say, yeah, I believe God, But to know him personally, to know that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, to know that, we got to learn that from the Word of God. So Claire's testimony, he knows his daughter is hurting. And when your children hurt, you hurt. You hurt. That's just the way it is. When friends and family at home or even at church hurt. We know that. We care for one another. So, but with Claire's knowledge of the Word of God, he knows. He knows there's purpose. He knows there's hope. He knows that we were created to go to hell? Huh? No. Were we created to live lives of misery? No. We were created for his good pleasure. And how do we know that? Because of the Word of God. It's in there. That's the purpose. Coming to church. That's the purpose. Studying the Word. That's the purpose God has for you. Think about that. You ever been so miserable in things and you can't understand why? We've all been there, whatever it is. We know that all things work together for good, that those who love God are called according to his purpose. 2 Peter, I'm about done here. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 8 through 10. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, I'm just going to talk about that just for a second. Lord, just give me something right there. That is not to be used as an excuse to put things off. That is showing us the magnitude of God's authority. That's showing us who God is. We can't comprehend one day as 1,000 years and 1,000 years in one day. We can't comprehend that. We can't comprehend eternity. We can't. And I often thought about, you ever think about the eternity before creation? Ooh. Ooh. That's who God is. Okay, so 1 year is, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All should come to repentance. Every breath that has been taken, that person, it's God's will to be saved. Now, are they all? We know they haven't been, and we're pretty much sure they all won't be. But it's not because God didn't want them to be. It's not because God didn't have a purpose for them. And right back to purpose for you. Man, this thing with God is a personal relationship. Ken touched on that earlier today. You're not saved as a group. You're not saved because you go to Drift Run Church. You're not saved because you do this or you do that or you give this or you give that or you went there, you done this, blah, 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 blah. You're saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony. That's it. And it's up to you to repent and turn to the Lord. And it's not like I'm standing here saying, you need to repent. The Word of God told me to repent. So who am I to say, you need to do this and you need to do that? The Word of God does that. That is the purpose of God's Word. So, in closing right now, I wrote this down about that person that told me they always feel good after the sermon. I got a young friend. If anybody don't know, I like fishing. Yeah, I do. And there's a young friend at work. He just started. He's OIT. Just a young feller. And he just wound up. Man, when he hooks a fish, Jamie. Yeah, he gets so excited, and he feels good, and he's happy. And he'll drink a Mountain Dew Code Red. I said, you're not allowed in my boat anymore. You drink a Code Red. And that made me think about feeling good. There's preachers that preach messages that'll make us feel like that. We're excited. We're happy. But what happens to that? A sugar buzz. What happens to that? It burns off and you crash. The Word of God is not for a feeling good thing. It feels good to feel good, but the Word of God is to tell us. The purpose of the Word of God is to get our hearts. The purpose of the Word of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ unto salvation. I can say all kinds of things, do a dance, make you laugh, all kinds of stuff, make you feel good for a second, but what's that in eternity? It's nothing. It's gone. It's gone. The Word of God, the cross of Jesus, that's where our focus needs to be. Not on the man in the pulpit, but the message from the pulpit. The cross of Jesus Christ. So that was the purpose of Jesus. That was the purpose of the cross, is to make a way for us to have a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those heroes of the Old Testament, those icons that we think of, the Pauls, the Peter, all those, yet they're sitting right here, every one of them is saved by faith. Amen. Every one of them is sitting in the same place we are. Our focus needs to be on the cross. Amen. Not on any man or anything. Final note here. We remember last weekend was the 911, and you always see that sign, never forget. I wrote this down the other day. Lest we forget, he who was guilty of nothing. Now we know who we're talking about, right? He who was guilty of nothing paid the price for all that were guilty. We cannot forget that, folks. We cannot forget that. That is the purpose. That is what motivates us to grow spiritually. That's what better get us out of our chairs and get us active for the Lord. Whether it be in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, be active in a community thing. Be active in missions. Be active in anything that brings glory to, and honor to God. I was talking to people at the gas pumps. Talking to people at Walmart. And I ain't meaning beat them over the head with the Bible. I mean in saying the right words with a smile and compassion on folks. There's so many people that just, Ron, you need to work on that. Just look like they're mad at the world all the time. Speak to them. There was some woman the other day, she just looked sour mouth, was reading meters, whatever. And I just said, how you doing today? And she just lit up like a candle. And it wasn't anything that I did, but it was just that outward reach, I guess. And she just smiled and we changed these pleasantries and went on. Now, if I'd have been Ryan, she'd have been Ryan, and that'd have been that, and went on. Don't you like smiling faces? I do. I do. So, man, if the Lord has convicted your heart this morning, know that it is good to be a Christian. Not because I'm good or Ron's good or anybody's good. It's good to be a Christian because of the good that he done. So if you think you ain't good enough to be saved, you're right. There's not a one of us that is. But you have purpose. You were created with purpose, just as Moses was, just as Abraham was, just as Peter and Paul was. You have purpose. If you want to come and get a song, and if the Lord has stirred your heart in any way this morning, don't reject the calling of the Holy Spirit. Do not reject that. Like one guy asked me one time, working at Ames there years ago, he come and he knew I'd went to church some, and he come and he wasn't a Christian yet, but he said, man, he said, I went to church with my wife and everybody's around and something kept stirring me and pulling me to do something. He said, what was that? I said, that was the Holy Spirit moving upon you. You got to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Man, Dave preached a dynamite sermon last Sunday morning about the Holy Spirit. The church, the modern world church, they don't want nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They don't want nothing to do with the blood. So you take those two things out, you got a social gathering. There you go. Praise the Lord.